Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
79 hours, 20 minutes till kickoff. World's biggest pregame show, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson got paid, no surprise. Pat Mahomes got paid, no surprise. But there's something the Chiefs did that the Texans didn't. To me, that makes this more significant moving forward for the Texans as an organization.
How's that?
Not only did Mahomes get paid, but Andy Reid, their head coach, and their GM, Brett Veach, also got extended. So Pat Mahomes is going to be joined at the hip by his GM and his head coach when his contract begins.
Mm-hmm.
If Bill O'Brien does not take the next step as a head coach, and Bill O'Brien does not eventually warrant Cal McNair making that decision, this contract really doesn't mean as much as you and I have been talking about it meaning. Because it don't mean a thing if you don't got that swing or that coach when it comes to a quarterback. If you don't have the right coach, you can be as good of a quarterback as we could ever wish for, but it doesn't mean a damn thing. Pat Mahomes has that. Deshaun Watson does not have that yet.
Totally disagree on it doesn't mean as much. I get your point as far as the coaching. Because, you know, obviously Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Brett Veach, I mean, they got a good thing going. They've just won the Super Bowl. Let's state the obvious, all right? But I think this is an important thing for the organization that Deshaun Watson is now locked up, because if Bill O'Brien gets it done, awesome, he'll get an extension. There is nothing out there right now that would warrant Bill O'Brien getting another extension. He's been here 6 years, going into his seventh year. Been good, not great. Keeps bumping his head on the ceiling, as we've talked about repeatedly. You know, never getting past the divisional round in the postseason, if that. Jack Easterby has been here for like an hour and a half, you know, and is calling all the shots. Nothing says that he should get an extension at this point. Let's see what your draft picks and your salary cap management and your management in general, how it plays out. I've got no reason to believe, nor would I ever want any of these guys to get an extension, because I think the best thing about Deshaun Watson's contract is the Texans just became the most attractive organization in the NFL. If Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby fail, you're gonna get any coach you want, the best of the very best, which is in the NFL anyway normally. But it became attractive for Dabo Swinney, who should never leave Clemson. But Deshaun getting locked up and proving himself in the NFL, Dabo is interested if he wants.
But the problem, he's interested if he wants. What do
I
you mean?
He could get this job if he wants.
The reason that I disagree with you is because I think that we've seen in the past where the most sought after head coaching candidate has come in and he's failed. And if that happens, it sets things back.
Mm-hmm.
If Bill O'Brien doesn't validate getting a contract extension, then this really means nothing, because Deshaun Watson's not going to win a Super Bowl with a bad coach. You need a good coach. And I'm not saying Bill O'Brien's a bad coach. I'm just saying he's not to the point where you feel comfortable that Deshaun Watson taking that next step is going to, with 100% certainty, going to be because of Bill O'Brien. We saw Deshaun Watson get this new contract, and we all agreed, yeah, he deserved it. That's good. That's awesome. You know, Deshaun Watson, 6 more years, great. Keys to the franchise, that's awesome. Not trying to minimize it, not trying to hike my leg on it. But what I'm saying is, the moment that we will know that this organization and this franchise is ready to take the next step is if Bill O'Brien gets that contract extension and you and I go on the air on a Reaction Monday, and we say, you know, that was really well deserved.
Right.
Not he gets the extension and we still have questions, but if Bill O'Brien gets a contract extension and we say, man, you know what? Well deserved. We know that the Texans are going to be in position to finally take that next step. We don't know that right now with Deshaun Watson. We haven't even seen him throw to these new receivers. Bill O'Brien could have put together a roster that just sets Deshaun Watson back. That's what could have happened. So until we see that new coach, and even if it is a new coach, there's a lot of uncertainty there. The best thing that we can see for Deshaun Watson, this organization, is B.O.B. get an extension and us sit here and say, you know what? That Bill O'Brien deserves that extension. I'm so glad that him and Deshaun Watson are an item, because Pat Mahomes is not sitting there with a coach who he doesn't know is going to be the future. And that's why we throw out stuff like Dynasty. You don't throw out Dynasty just because Pat Mahomes is doing what he's doing. You throw it out there because he's got a head coach who's going to be with him the next six, whatever years, and you feel good about that. In order to reach the goal that we talk about, and we started throwing out Super Bowl, we start talking about legacy, we start talking about all that stuff. Deshaun Watson was talking about it. In order to do that, it takes two, man. You need a quarterback and you need a coach.
Right. No, you do. And that's why I feel good about the Watson contract, because let's go through the list. Like Bill O'Brien, you don't know, I don't know. Nobody knows if Bill O'Brien is going to be the guy. You just can't. All evidence points to he's not the guy. But now we got a new offensive coordinator calling the plays. I mean, a new guy calling the plays, new defensive coordinator. Maybe this is going to be the magic pill, right? You know, the magic beans, you know, and then okay. And all of a sudden Bill O'Brien proves that he is the guy to go to a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson. But I'm glad that Deshaun Watson got this contract, because just name.
Well, I'm glad too. No, I'm not saying
in terms of coaching, because if Bill O'Brien fails, name the absolute top of the very highest, you know, coaching candidate. David Shaw from Stanford, he'll be interested.
Like him.
Dabo Swinney, he'll be interested.
Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy, he'll be interested. I mean, the very, very best coaches.
Sometimes those guys fail is my point.
Of course they do.
But we need to – but Bill O'Brien, we're actually going to see – we're actually going to see before that – before your decision happens, and I agree with you on this being an appealing job, but before your decision happens, there's still going to be uncertainty with those guys. Bill O'Brien's going to have a chance to coach Deshaun Watson. And in the plan that Bill O'Brien has laid out, which we don't know how long this plan is. Is it a 2-year plan? Is it a 3-year plan? The roster's pretty much set for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
If they do feel the need to move on from Bill O'Brien, there's a chance, A, that who knows what the roster looks like. I'm almost scared to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And B, you're going to have a coach who we don't know about. So I think Bill O'Brien is the guy that he is the next step for Deshaun Watson. He has to validate. Not get an extension after an 8-8 season or after a just get to playoffs. He has to validate it. But I'm with you. If it doesn't work out, you are 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most appealing head coaching jobs that would have been available in a long, long time in the NFL.
But let's look at the last two hires of this organization, okay? Gary Kubiak, never a head coach. Very, very highly regarded as an offensive coordinator. Became a head coach, had his moments. Bill O'Brien. College coach who was 8-4, something like that. The greatest thing he did was kind of take Penn State through a very horrible time. There's not going to be the resume is going to be a lot fuller. Let me put it that way. The resume is going to be someone who has, you know, very, very few questions that he can step in and deserves to be a head coach because of Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson's contract. You're not going to get, you know, as many question marks, well, maybes. You're not going to get as many well, maybes. You're going to get a lot. I mean, there's always going to be a maybe, as you pointed out. Bieniemy, how's it play out as a head coach? But there's no question about what he can do with an offense. You know, David Shaw, he wasn't just a caretaker at Stanford. He's a legit coach. Dabo Swinney, how do national championships grab you? You know, the resume is just going to be a lot better for the guy that comes in.
And I also wonder, you know, how much the organization, how much the front office is going to think it's important for Deshaun to have the same coach, even if they haven't taken the next step. Are they going to be scared to make that change?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that I also think you need to keep an eye on, because sometimes, you know, the front offices keep coaches around because they function under the mindset, well, we don't want to have a coaching change. That would set the quarterback back. I just don't think that's a mindset you can have when you have a guy like a Deshaun Watson. You
right.
can't sit here and tread water.
You know what else sets the quarterback back? 2 more years of this. So you got a year or two, and I think after that, you know, you got to make a call. Is he your guy or not?
Do you think Bill O'Brien is going to validate this? Do you think the Texans are in a position to where we're going to be talking about a package deal? We're going to be talking about Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien, the duo, the Andy Reid Mahomes like duo. Obviously not on that level. But are we going to be talking? Is Bill O'Brien going to be the guy up there if Deshaun Watson does win a Lombardi? Is Bill O'Brien going to be the guy up there hoisting that Lombardi with him?
Within the next 2 years, yes. If it happens after that, no. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I'm just telling you. It's like even if they go back to the exact same place they did this year, 2 years in a row. You're thinking, hey, man, 3 years in a row, division champs. 3 years in a row, divisional round. We got it going. No, that's not good enough anymore. You can't do that anymore.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Does the Deshaun Watson contract really mean much if you don't have a coach to pair along with him? Pat Mahomes got that. Deshaun did not. The two are going to meet here in about 79 hours and 10 minutes. It is the world's biggest pregame show here on Sports Radio 610. We'll see. But there is a concern I do have, John, and it's good news for Thursday, but it could be bad news for the 2020 season. Are the Texans too damn obsessed with the season opener? Do they have their chips on the table, and are they playing the wrong game? Wade Smith thinks so. Mm-hmm. I think he might have a point. We'll discuss as the world's biggest pregame show continues next.
Inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Are the Texans too focused on Thursday's game? 79 hours, 3 minutes away, Texans versus Chiefs. It's a big game. But is it as big as the Texans appear to have made it this offseason? Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. This came up yesterday in the players' war room when we kicked off the world's biggest pregame show with Wade Smith as well as Cecil Shorts. The Texans in the offseason, they brought in Eric Murray, a versatile defensive back. They let DJ Reader go, who was one of the best run-stopping nose tackles in the NFL. It was the only thing the Texans did well on defense was stop the run. They were ninth in the league in that category. And they also brought in a lot of guys on offense to increase the firepower of that side of the rock. So you're trying to increase the firepower. You're trying to have versatile DBs. And you're letting one of your best run stoppers go. Now, I know the price was high. I get it. It was a high price tag. But you let him go. Which, when it comes to facing a Kansas City team who likes to spread the rock out, having versatile guys on defense in the secondary will help you.
You're going to say tough, smart, too?
No. You might not miss defensive linemen that are run stuffers as much. Which is good. That's great news for Thursday. But what about the other six games that matter more than any other games on your schedule? What about in the AFC South, a division in which Tennessee runs the ball with Derrick Henry? Indianapolis just drafted a running back to pair with a guy who was top 10 in the league in rushing in Marlon Mack. They drafted Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. And they have offensive linemen that wear hats that say run the damn ball. I'll just put Jacksonville to the side.
Yeah.
Are the Texans focusing more on the Chiefs than they are their own division? And is that a mistake, J-Lo?
I don't think so, but I get the point that Wade was making. You don't go anywhere in this league without getting through your division first. That's the proving ground, right? And as much as I've kind of downplayed the, hey, we've won four division championships things because division championships are for losers. You know, you have to get to the beyond that, conference championship games and beyond. It still is the path. The division championships are important because that's how you get there. That's how you get to the next step that gets you to the ultimate level. So I get his point. I agree with it to a point. But you also have to realize there's only one way you're getting to a Super Bowl. There's only one way you're getting to Super Bowl. That's to beat Baltimore and Kansas City.
Well, you better beat your division.
No, I understand that. I just said I agree with his premise. But you've won the division. You've won the division and petered out in the postseason. You're a contender for the division. It's much tougher, but you're a contender for the division this year. And you figure to have a good year. But you've done that, been there, done that, the whole nine yards, and then, boom, you hit a wall against the super elite teams. It's been New England in the past. Lately, it's been Kansas City, and now it's Baltimore as well. So I think that they've done everything they can to get through the division, and it's going to be tough no matter what because the other two teams got a lot better. Tennessee with Jadeveon Clowney over the weekend, the Colts with all their acquisitions, including Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, it's going to be tough for the division. But if you're talking about winning championships, you've got to focus a lot on the Chiefs.
I get it. Mm-hmm. But what if you're better equipped to beat the Chiefs and you're treading water when it comes to beating the Titans and Colts? Because I would make a case, and I know division titles are for losers, I would make a case that being prepared to beat those two teams is just as important as being able to beat the Chiefs.
No, it is. It's actually more important in terms of the path that you're gonna take. You know, you're not going anywhere if you finish third in a division with a 6-10 record, you know, or 7-9 record. You literally are going nowhere in the postseason. But if you feel like we're in line to stay in the division race for the distance, we're going to be a very good team. So now what? The now what is we got to figure out a way to beat the Chiefs and the Ravens, and it's really kind of a combination of the two things. It's not focus more on the division. It's not focus more on the Chiefs. We know we're good enough to get through the division. It's going to be tougher with the competition we have now.
Do you know that? You just said it.
The record says they've done it.
Okay. The record also says that
they lost guys.
They lost DeAndre Hopkins. They lost DJ Reader. They lost some guys. Do you think that? Do you think they're good enough to just go through this division? Because I don't.
I
think this is the best this division's been in a long time.
I just said that. The competition's tougher, but you have the elements to win a division, mainly number four.
I just don't know. It seems like the way that this team's built, and we make fun of them for talking about division titles all the time. We make fun of them. I don't want to say they're taking it for granted, but it does seem like they're just acting like they're on to worrying about the Kansas City Chiefs and whatnot, and it doesn't seem like it seems like the other teams in the division could be problems, matchup problems for the Texans, especially that defense against the Tennessee and the Indianapolis offense. I'm worried about that.
Yeah, no. Look, Tennessee and Indianapolis are going to be a problem. I think I'm picking the Colts. You know, spoiler alert. For Thursday. All right. Or Wednesday, whenever we do it. But
Friday. Let's go Friday.
We're gonna go Friday. Oh, that's right, because after the game, Lincoln. I got you. I'm with you. Okay. A good meeting.
Football Friday.
Good meeting, boys. Look, it's going to be tough. But it's not like the Texans don't have a chance in the division.
No. I'm not saying that. And look, I think of all these offenses, I'm starting to see a clear path to this Texans offense being very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the investments have gone. The offensive line is as good as it's been in long time. Quarterback's better than it's ever been.
Yeah.
The receivers, the depth chart is deeper than it's
diverse,
ever been. It's
yeah.
faster than it's ever been. The running backs can do a lot of things. I could see this offense being very good. I could see this offense being very, very good. I still don't know about Tim Kelly, but he's not Bill O'Brien. So hopefully he's a better play caller and handles an offense better than Bill O'Brien. But even with that said, John, and it keeps going back to this, and this has been my main theme of the offense, and this is what I want all the loopholes to think about. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Hope you're enjoying your Labor Day on radio.com app, whether you're working or not. The defense is what we need to be looking at. Because we can talk about the offense and we can talk about the uncertainty.
Yeah.
The offense has no choice but to be good. That's where the investments are. You have some of the most money invested in the wide receiver, running back position, and the offensive line, and you have one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, one of the two highest in the next few years. That has to be good. You don't have a choice for that to be good. If the offense isn't good, then it's going to be a long season.
Yeah.
I don't think it's
going to
be bad.
But the difference maker is going to be on defense.
Defense is going to be a problem, man. Yeah. Defense is going to be a problem. I don't look at this defense and feel good. It was one of the worst in the league last year. They were the worst on third down. They were the worst in the red zone. They were near the bottom third of every category except stopping the run, and their best run stopper's gone.
Yeah.
This offense is going to have to light it the heck up, and this defense is built to when you face the Tennessees and when you face the Indianapolis Colts, those teams could possibly be able to do.
They might mash.
They might mash, and they might be able to do what it's important for an offense to do when they're facing a high-powered offense, keep them on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Because they're going to try to run the rock on you.
That's what I mean by mash. I mean, you know, look at who what the Colts, you know, what their strategy is. Certainly the Titans' strategy is to run the ball. By the way, John McClain just issued a very public apology.
For what?
He said he called himself an idiot.
For calling Jordan Thomas a breakout player?
John McClain just said it ties in with what we're talking about here. John McClain just said, I'm an idiot on Twitter.
Why?
And what he said.
Why is he being so hard on himself?
What he's talking about is he said, I believe yesterday, that Ross Blacklock was named the starter opposite of J.J. Watt, rookie Ross Blacklock. It is not rookie Ross Blacklock. It is Charles Omenihu, your guy, which I love that. I like Omenihu's game, and I think he's got a chance to leap up. But McClain said, I'm an idiot. I was wrong. It's actually Omenihu starting there rather than Blacklock. But it ties in with what we're talking about. These are guys that are still largely, as much as I like Omenihu, largely unproven or rookies. And you're gonna spell the difference on the defensive side. You're going to score points. You're going to be good on offense. You know, you're going to contend, I think, in the division because of your offense, but you're going to win things, big things, because your defense is going to get stopped.
Fifth round pick, second year starting on the D-line. Good for Charles Omenihu.
No. But we both like him. I mean, it's not where you got drafted, to me, right. It doesn't really matter anymore.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they cut Angelo Blackson, so they liked Omenihu enough to see what was going on. You got to keep an eye on that. Also got to keep an eye on A.J. Moore. And who the starting safety is going to be in Kansas City. But it just does seem like the way that they've built stuff, the Kansas City Chiefs do seem to be on the Texans' radar. But we'll see what happens when business picks up and you face the Chiefs, then you face the Ravens, and you got to knuckle up and face the division, which, by the way, also, it's going to be a little later in the season. It's not going to be you're not going to get them early. So maybe that can be a good thing. Maybe there's a little more wear and tear for Derrick Henry or –
You don't face the Titans until October 18th.
It's a long ways away. Very long ways away. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you in the loop on Sports Radio 610, world's biggest pregame show, trucking on. Bill O'Brien at 5 o'clock. He's going to have his first of many meetings with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris, Monday meetings at 5 o'clock. He's always more candid on these. It's almost like he gets to listen to himself via press conference. And then he gets to go back and kind of change his answers and tweak them. So I always enjoy that. It is the Bill O'Brien Show, 5 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 610. Also, 8 o'clock, Texans versus Patriots last year. We remember that one. Commercial-free, a Texans radio production. So much to get into. We'll hear from Deshaun Watson coming up. A very emotional, candid Deshaun Watson right here on Sports Radio 610.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the kickoff countdown. We're less than 79 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's hear from Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson got paid. Earlier in the show, you heard his family, you heard Dabo Swinney, you heard his high school coach. Heard a lot of people that have been very important to Deshaun Watson, but let's hear from the man himself, the face, the man who was handed the keys to the Texans franchise over the weekend. Here is an emotional Deshaun Watson after he signed on the dotted line.
First, I just want to start off by, you know, thanking a couple of people, Janice, Cal, Coach OB, Jack, the coaching staff, teammates, everyone that was a part of this organization, the really just, I mean, I'm lost to words, honestly. I've been crying a little bit, really. It's just, you know, an amazing moment for me to be able to extend my career in a location, in a place, in a home. I would say that my family love, that I love, that, you know, I want to continue to dive into the community most of all, and just continue to build my legacy, just build our legacy, you know, as a whole, and do something that we've never been done before. And, you know, growing up, my word has always been legendary. And for me, at, you know, Gainesville High School, we never won a state championship. And I was the first quarterback to do it. Clemson University, they haven't won a state champion or a national championship since who knows when. I was the first one to do it. And the Houston Texans organization, being so new, we haven't even got to that stage yet. And for me to be able to have that opportunity with a whole bunch of great other teammates, great coaching staff, great organization, and people up front, I want to be able to have that on my statue too. And that's what I've been working for. So, you know, to answer your question, that was my last and least concern. You know, honestly, the money is amazing. It's life-changing. It's great. But the biggest thing is for the McNair family, OB, Jack, to just trust in me and believe in me that, you know, I'm their guy, I'm their quarterback, is the biggest thing that really touches me. You know, growing up from where I'm from, there's not too many people to make it out. And so for them to just trust me, I mean, it means the most. So that's the biggest thing. The contract, I knew that was going to take care of itself. My biggest focus was the locker room and just my performance on the field. Because that's been something that really just got me from all the negativity. Just really all the negative stuff that we had experienced growing up. So, no, that wasn't my biggest concern.
Mark Berman.
Deshaun, I guess kind of along the lines of what you're kind of working around, have you had much time to reflect on how far you've come and what this means to you now and going forward in the future, and the fact that, you know, you can take care of your family for many, 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 many years? You had a chance to reflect on all of that.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the only reason why I'm crying. It's just the moments, the good, the bad, the ugly, the sacrifice from day one since I was looking at Gainesville, Georgia, to now. I mean, this is, like I said before, the money is fine, it's cool, but like my family told me last night, I didn't do it for the money. I mean, that's just something that comes with it. So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot right now, for sure.
Deshaun, grown men do cry, don't they?
For sure, yeah.
Sarah Barshop.
Deshaun, what was going through your mind when you saw those familiar faces at the start of the Zoom call?
A lot of memories, a lot of talks, a lot of sacrifice, discipline. I mean, all those people were, even including JV, I mean, just had something to relate to me. And I had a big part of my career. And so it just flashbacks, just continue to just pile up of so many special moments. And it was awesome. I appreciate Amy and the whole staff and everyone that was a part of that. That means a lot.
Brian Smith.
Hey Deshaun. It's clear that you're going to remain humble. It's clear you're going to remain driven. I mean, we you know, you see all this and how emotional you are and how driven you are, but from a football perspective, how, and I know it, it's just hearing it is powerful in itself. How committed are you to getting this organization to the next level, which you mentioned earlier, you know, that they haven't been to, and obviously ultimately this is why you're getting this life-changing contract?
I mean, everything, a broken rib, punctured lung, I mean, torn ACL, whatever it takes. I mean, they have to really keep me off the field. So, I mean, kidding the eye, eyeball coming out, whatever it takes. I'm on that field. Until that doctor is forcing me and holding me down, I'm on the field trying to win. I'm trying to win at everything, just in life in general. And not trying, you know, never trying to compare myself to other people. I'm focusing, you know, on my situation, you know, Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. And that's what I'm focused on and locked in on. So whatever it takes, I'm doing whatever it takes to get to what we want to get to.
Okay, we'll go Aaron Wilson.
Sean, when you think about, you know, one of the things you've done is a lot of charity, a lot of things with the community. Your thoughts on kind of what you can do with that kind of generational wealth to do more in Houston, back in Georgia. And I understand that you're going to be a business owner and be a restaurant guy now too.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's another priority for me to be able to tap back in the communities, especially with a lot of things going on, just being able to give people foundations in the home, because that was something that changed my life in the direction of my life with Ward Dunn and what he did for me and my family, giving us that foundation, that home. Because honestly, if I would have stayed in an environment that I was growing up in and going down, I probably wouldn't be sitting in this chair, or it would have been a lot more, you know, tough to get to this position. So that changed that structure and that foundation of me seeing that the world was bigger than what it is or what it was at that time. And for me to be able to have the opportunity and be so blessed, I definitely want to tap into as much as I can. Of course, you know, my job in football is firsthand, but whenever I can, to get in these communities and help families out back home, Gainesville, in Clemson, in Houston, everywhere I can, to be able to, you know, share and, you know, and pass the love and the energy on, you know, into this world. And then, of course, you know, with the franchise with Lefty, you know, my ideal, I don't like a lot of change. And, you know, growing up, sticking with Gainesville, that's all I knew. Clemson, committed as a 14-year-old, the Dabo Sweeney, that's what I am. I'm committed to the Houston Texans, Nat family, Coach OB, Jack, all my teammates, I'm committed here. I don't like a lot of change. So once I, you know, was drafted here, I, you know, set myself that I want to be Houston as my next home. Like, Houston is my foundation, is my home. And so, you know, of course, doing endorsements and, you know, having equity ownership into a, you know, organization or a franchise, as in Lefties, that's in Detroit, I want to be able to share that wealth, you know, bring cheese steaks down to Houston and, you know, do some charity work with the franchise and be able to, you know, just expand the community and the city.
Last one for Vanessa.
Hey, Deshaun, on Twitter, you said that your mom taught you to overcome obstacles, and I know you two are very close. What was it like to call your mom and tell her that you had gotten this deal done?
I was crying. I mean, it was amazing when I found out and she found out. And, but no, it, she was very excited, but she already knew that her son was, you know, special. And whatever it came with, you know, she wasn't looking at the numbers. She wasn't looking at that. Her biggest thing was, I love to do something. I've been doing something that I love to do for so long. And to be able to see the rewards that come with it was her biggest thing. And to see the tears and, you know, she was just like, hey, don't worry about us. I mean, we're going to be fine. You go win the championship. That literally was the first thing she said. She's like, congratulations. But, hey, you got a game to win Thursday, and you got a championship to go get. And then she started getting into all the other stuff. So, I mean, having that mother that understand my priorities and my goals in life, I mean, it's amazing. It makes life a lot more easier. So it was awesome.
Thanks, Deshaun.
Thank you.
Sean Watson, first of all, rank the cry.
Oh, come on now. Sincerity is how you rank fries. Because a lot of guys try to force it. Like, this means so much to me.
No, that was real.
That was sincere, man.
You can see the pain.
Yeah.
I don't trust y'all two's opinion as much as I do someone that's going to join us tomorrow at 11:30.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, he does have experience.
As part of the world's biggest pregame show, Dick Vermeil, Super Bowl winning coach of the Rams and the best crier of all time when it comes to crying at a press conference, on a football field, whenever, wherever, Dick Vermeil could cry. I'm going to ask him to rank Deshaun Watson's cry tomorrow.
Are you really?
Yes, I am. I don't care if I embarrass you in front of someone you know or not.
Dick Vermeil, who famously has cried, to rank Deshaun Watson's cry.
Yes, 100%. Here's a little taste of all Dick right. Vermeil. Crybaby Dick Vermeil, who's going to join us at 11:30 tomorrow. I won't say that, though.
Lawrence and I have experienced a lot of things.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that because, you know, we put a lot of work into this thing, and you guys do all the physical work.
You know, I love you, man. I love you, too.
And, guys, I love you. And you know that. You know, I come out in pregame warm-ups and visiting stadiums, and some guy will yell, "Hey, Vermeil, why don't you cry for us?"
Yep. I'm going to ask him. He's ranking the cry. I'm playing the cry, and I'm going to say I want you to rank the cry. As a matter of fact, I might get...
Just don't do it at the beginning of the interview.
I might get multiple press conferences.
We'll only have a 30-second interview.
I might get multiple press conferences and just get the best crying in press conferences of all time and see what Dick Vermeil thinks. Rank them 1 to 3. Who cried better?
Who did it better?
Who cried better, Dick?
Oh, my gosh. Look, he's coming on tomorrow, and he is really good on the NFL. I mean, he gets plugged in. I've been texting with him. He's ready, man. He's ready to bring it on the world's biggest pregame show.
I'm going
to
ask him about staying out of the way, staying out of an offensive coordinator's way, too.
Oh, it's a great question.
Yeah, staying out of an offensive coordinator's way. Bill O'Brien's got that predicament. I'm going to ask him about the crying, obviously. We'll ask him about that 11:30. We got a lot lined up here on the world's biggest pregame show, Sports Radio 610, about 78 hours and change away from Texans versus Chiefs. Another thing Deshaun Watson's doing, and blah, 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 community, blah, 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 football, blah, 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 Super Bowl, blah, 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 all that other stuff, whatever. He's bringing a cheesesteak franchise to town?
Yeah, did you
see Lucky's Cheesesteaks?
That is big time. Big time. And you know it's because it's his place, you know? It's one of those things. Yeah, Lucky's Cheesesteak is big time.
It's Lefty's. I said Lucky's. Mm-hmm. Lefty's Cheesesteak. Let me check this menu real quick and see if D-Dub's bringing something. I don't know if this franchise is going to make... Ooh, okay. They got the curly fries. So we got cheesesteak. We got chicken hoagies. We got Southpaw. We got the Big Papa, which is ribeye steak, grilled onions, yellow American cheese, lettuce, pickles, Thousand Island dressing. We got the Munchin' with Michael, fried popcorn chicken,
yeah,
leaf lettuce, tomatoes, buffalo sauce topped with ranch dressing. We got the Italian Stallion, ribeye steak, grilled onions, Swiss American blended cheeses, pizza sauce, mozzarella cheese, and pepperoni. We got the Winfrey seasoned shaved chicken, grilled onions, pepper jack cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, jalapenos topped with chipotle. Got some corny dogs.
Now we're talking.
Got some corned beef. Figgy.
I'm sold.
It's a Cleveland thing. Oh, cheesesteak is the dessert. Little strawberry crunch cheesesteak. Little Oreo. Little Superman. Don't even know what a Superman cheesesteak is. Got some salads. Corn dogs topped. Lefty's burgers. Okay.
Yeah.
I see you, Deshaun.
Isn't he bringing like several, right?
He's bringing a lot.
Yeah,
so he's bringing some cheesesteaks to H-Town. I
was driving in on Katy Freeway. I saw a new In-N-Out burger over there. They're coming
in
hard.
Appreciate the warning.
A warning?
Appreciate the
Look,
warning.
You can prefer Whataburger. That doesn't mean you hate on In-N-Out.
I'm not hating. I'm just saying I appreciate the warning.
You said warning. That's hating.
Yeah, appreciate the warning.
Like a hurricane warning.
Appreciate the warning, Holmes.
You don't like In-N-Out burger?
It's all right.
Biggie?
I liked it. I had it in L.A., and it was pretty good.
It's good. I like Whataburger better here, and even in L.A., In-N-Out's not my preferred, but it doesn't stink.
It's all right.
All right.
It ain't worth lining up for or anything like that.
Well, people did do that. I wouldn't have done that.
It's one of the most efficient, though, drive-thrus. It's Chick-fil-A like with the way they handle business.
Yeah, though, they get it done.
The way they handle business, it's Chick-fil-A like. So I got to give them that. But we got some Lefty's cheesesteaks coming, courtesy of Deshaun Watson. I'm intrigued by it. I appreciated my endangered species yesterday. You better believe that.
What's that?
Went to Quiznos. There aren't many of them.
It's a good place.
I had to hit me some Quiznos.
Schlotsky's.
Had to do it.
Schlotsky's is good. But there's not very many of those either.
You ain't got to show off with the bread that much. You can not rise it up as much.
It's good, man.
It's a little too much bread for me. Can't even taste it.
You don't like Schlotsky's here?
I like Schlotsky's. I just think it's they show off a little too much with the bread.
Okay.
D-measuring contest with the bread is what they do. You try to make it rise up as much as it needs
to.
Well, it does. You can kind of tone it down a little bit there.
Let's stiffen.
Exactly. That's what it does do. Did you know this? Could I interest you in a stat?
Hit me.
61% of low-income families have no books in their homes. 61%.
That's mind-blowing.
It's absolutely insane. And we got to do something to help. World's biggest pregame show, we're going to team up with the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation, and we're going to join their My Home Library campaign. Because, again, 61% of low-income families.
Especially now.
With no books. We've got to help them out. We are going to do that. And with your help, we're going to lower this 61%. And we're going to try to eliminate it as well. We'll give you more details as the week goes on the world's biggest pregame show. But that's something that we really, really want to try to change here in H-Town. Because every kid deserves to have books.
Well, and with so much home learning right now, online learning, kids, especially younger kids before third, fourth grade, you got to have those books in the house just to kind of keep the interest going. And low-income neighborhoods, families, 61% is inexcusable.
We'll give you more details as the world's biggest pregame show continues throughout the week. And we know how loopholes are. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Always willing to help out. So we'll go ahead and do that. Let's go around the NFL. There are major decisions being made in the AFC South. There's a couple that drew headlines, but there's other moves being made in the division that I think could be just as significant. We'll tell you what they are and all the other stuff going around the NFL next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.